You should have gotten an email from me yesterday that gave you the name of a mentor. Did anybody actually see that?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Huh?
I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's 50%. Okay. What we do in this class is we connect you with a person that graduated from BCC and is working in the field. Okay, so they went through this program and working in the field. Now, we can't do the connection of you're a networking, we find a networking, you're a programmer, we find a game, etc. That's just too complicated. But they are working out in the field. And they can give you lots of information about what the job is really like. So what you have to do is you have to write me a paper that is due Thursday 29th. And it has two parts in it. The first part is where you do some research on the career that you're interested in. And you write up the results of doing your research. I want to know the sources of your research. I could care less about the form that the sources are in, okay? I don't even know the forms the sources come in nowadays, okay? People ask me, do you want it in this or do you want it that? I could care less. I just want to know what you read, okay? So, you are going to write the first half of the paper or the first part of the paper about a job that you're interested in doing. The second half, you're going to interview the person that I've assigned to you as your mentor. And it's done via email. It's an email mentor. So you're going to email them, establish a connection, then email them some questions. If when they get back to you, you have other questions, email them back. And essentially, the second part of the paper has got to be what you learn from interviewing somebody that's working in the field. Okay? And what you learn is going to depend on the questions you ask them. So ask them the question. I am not giving you questions to ask, okay, because I want you to ask what you're interested in knowing, not what I'm interested in knowing. So you are going to make up the questions and send the questions to the mentor. They're usually very good at getting back, some of them a little bit late. So I would suggest that you do it soon. Okay, the assignment is due at the end of November. You've got a month to do it. But if you wait till the 28th of November and send them an email, you're not going to get very satisfying results, if any. So you should get on top of this weekend and start thinking of the questions that you want to ask and send the questions out so that you can start gathering the information, okay? Because, again, these people are all working full-time. They have lives. They're doing this. And it's interesting. I get back to them. I have a whole group, and I get back to a select number every year. I've never had anybody say no. They're all interested in doing it because, you know, they benefited from their experience here and they want to share, you know, what's going on. So they're all very interested in working with you. And I just emailed them a couple of weeks ago asking them to do it. And they all said, yeah, they'd like to do it again. So anyway, so that's your job, is to contact them, ask them questions. You have to send me the contact email so that I know you made the contact. And I also want to know what questions you ask. Those can either be sent when you ask them or they can be included when you write the paper. Okay, but I want to know the questions that you asked. Questions? Yeah?
Should we first contact them and then the next email we send them would be the question?
Usually that's the way we do it. It's usually that you kind of contact them and introduce yourself. And as I said, that email that you did the first week of school, not email, the webpage you did the first week of school, that's a way to introduce yourself. So some people send that, some people just write up something that introduces themselves, tell them, you know, what you're interested in, what career you think you're going into. Because even, let's say you want to go into networking, right? So even if the person doesn't know much about networking, they're probably working with somebody that does. And so they can tell you a little bit about that job. Yeah.
Does the assignment have a length minimum or anything?
No. No.
Oh, at least I don't really, I can't come in.
No. Well, that's that too. But, I was very good at college at padding a paper to meet the number of the pages required. I was extremely good at it. I don't want the paper padded to get to a certain number of pages. I want you to give me the information that makes sense, the information you get out of it.
The problem is always the opposite. I always write way too much.
I can do that, too. I was good at both of them. But I was better at padding. I was very good at that. So I do not want to see padded papers. I want to see the information that you gathered, the information that answered your questions, all that kind of stuff.
All need no font.
Yeah, basically. And don't change your fonts to fit the page and all the rest of it.
That's a little more obvious.
Huh?
That was a little more obvious, changing fonts.
Don't adjust the margins.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay? So I'm not interested in those games. I know how to do them, too. And they're worthless. Okay? All right. So, any questions? Yeah.
It's a career mentor paper, right? So are you going to assign us our professionals?
Yes. To everybody who has passed in a bunch of homework.
Oh, okay. So I need to do something.
As you see at the bottom, I'm not sending you a mentor until you are more caught up and proved you're participating in the course if you're far behind. Okay? Because what happens is if you're far behind, you're probably going to stay far behind, and I don't want to bother these people with somebody that's not serious about the course. And so I can still assign you a mentor, but if you are not doing the rest of the work, I don't assign it. Okay? All right. Any other questions? Okay, so we're now going to go in and start looking at Visual Basic. And Visual Basic is another programming language, and we're going to take a look at that. It's a very different kind of style than JavaScript, and so I want to kind of bring that up. So if you go to Software, and you can find Visual Studio 2017, okay? You can download Visual Studio if you go online. They will let you download it as well. And I don't really care what version you use. 12, 15, 17 are all fine. Okay? So if you click on Visual Studio 2017, this should come up. Okay? And then I can either do a file new or a file open. We're going to start out with file new, and then we'll go into opening one. So if I do file new, and then I pick project. And I am just pasting. File new, and I pick project. Okay, now the first thing you want to do is make sure you have chosen Visual Basic. There are a lot of languages that are supported by Visual Studio. You want to choose for this Visual Basic. So I pick Visual Basic. Okay. I want Windows Desktop. And I want windowformsapp.net, I believe. Okay, I'm guessing at this. I have 2015 at home. I guessed at it Tuesday before I left, and I think I remember what that I guessed right, but we'll find out. Okay, down below is a place where you can... Wait a minute, it was Windows Form I want. I think I clicked the wrong place just then. Okay, where I can put the name of what I want to do. So I'm going to call it First 11. And then I can browse and find a place that I want to put it. I'm going to browse, and I'm going to put it on my F drive. Or actually, I'm going to put it on my E drive. So I've selected a place on my E. I'm putting it on my E drive. And I need to make sure that I say create a directory for the solution. Okay? So I want to create a directory or a folder to hold the solution. When you send this to me, you're going to take that directory or folder and zip it up and send it to me. Because Visual Basic is very user-friendly, but it also has a lot of overhead. And it creates a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for you, like JavaScript didn't. What JavaScript had was much more you created. Yeah.
Do you prefer 7-zip or WinRAR?
Don't care. Okay. So, I need to check off all of these things.
So wait, it's a Forms app? My bad, I forgot the app.
Say that again?
Forms app we're using, right?
Yep. I hope so.
We're going to find out.
Okay, so now I'm going to click OK. And I've got to also load this weekend's 2017. Yeah, that looks good. Yeah.
It says access to path and this is C user's administrator source is denied. Yeah. I try to open the path.
How come I got in just fine?
Well, you're administrator probably.
I got in.
Did anybody else get in?
I've worked with Visual Basic before, so I'm surprised.
There
you go.
Maybe now.
You got in
Yep, there it is.
Like
the location you're trying to save it in was probably like where the administrative stuff is.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't bother checking.
Yeah, no problem.
Congratulations.
Is there a software
login to cable? Everybody who isn't in.
It's still loading for me. I don't know what's up.
It's okay.
Take another machine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, do I remember? This is the one thing I hated the most.
I think it's the back row. And
go to your software folder. It's on the desktop.
The visual basis is being exposed. Talk to Evan. Evan, what would be good? Not drawing that, right?
No, I mean, not here. Not from this class. I feel like when she's saying, well, oh, shit, I missed her map.
Ones that say Visual Basic. Okay, so you can go over here and start downloading a few of these because we're going to look at some examples there. So you can download them and unzip them. Okay, download them and store them on your flash drive or whatever you have and unzip them.
You want to download all of them or not?
Sure, because eventually we'll probably look at most of them.
Okay.
So you can either download them all or download the ones that say first math, basic math.
I did first SP. You did, do you
first
want
SP 12. First ones tend to be the ones we look at first.
First SP.
So has everybody got Visual Studio downloaded now? All right, so that we can work. If you didn't let Lindsay know, it's one of her busiest days. That's when we start Visual Basic.
You can leave it.
Okay, so now we're going to start, and what we have here is a form. And the form lets you design the input-output that is going to be used. We can do that on a form. The form has properties, and these are the things about the form, the properties, and we will look at those. And the Solution Explorer tells you the form is form one, and that's what we're using. So that's, and then my project, I called it First 11, and so that's the name. So whatever you called your project should be up here as the name, and then you will have a form one. Okay. So now, the other thing I need is over here down the side is the toolbox. And I'm going to click on that and see the little pin there? I'm going to click on the pin, which makes the pin lock it in place. So that little pin locks it in place. Okay. So now I've got the toolbox, the form, the Solution Explorer, and the properties. And those are the things that I need in order to work. When you go over to the toolbox, you want to click on Common Controls. Okay, so you've got Common Controls there. Okay, so I'm going to just do a very basic thing now. And so I'm going to grab and put over a label. So under the toolbox, you have label. You can drag it over and put it onto the form. Okay? And I'm going to have people put in a name. Okay? So I am going to take this, and notice it's now called Label 1. Under here, under Properties, when I had the form, it was called Form 1. Now that I've dragged a label over, it's called Label 1 because that's the thing that it's focused on right now. If I click another place on the form, it will go back to Form 1. But it's focused on Label 1, so that's what it's calling it. So now I'm going to go down to the properties. Okay? Now, I like to click that second one in, which is alphabetically. On properties. You can also have it categorized. I always have it alphabetical. So I'm clicking on that second one in, and that gives me alphabetical. So it is now telling me that the name is Label 1. Okay, I'm going to make a more meaningful name. Which with labels isn't really necessary, but it's a good exercise, so we'll do it. And I'm calling it LBL, and then I'm going to call it capital NAME. The only capital is name. So I've called this label name, and that's the standard three letters I'll put at the beginning of something to tell its category. So LBL tells me that it is a label. And I'm going to have it a label that says, enter your name here, basically. So I'm calling it label name. Okay? Then I scroll down on this and find the place where it says text label 1. And I'm going to change that and put NAME with a colon after it. I can put anything I want, but I'm just putting name there to indicate that this is going to be where I want you to put in a name in a minute. Okay? Now if I go back, notice that the word name is now in the box. It used to say label one, it now says name, because I've changed its text property. All of these are things about that box, and I've changed its text property, so the text now says name. Okay? So now I'm going to come over here, and I am going to find a text box. And I'm going to drag that over and put it kind of beside name. That text box is where they're going to be able to enter the person's name. Okay. So I'm going to come down here and I'm going to change where it says text box one. I'm going to change that and say TXT, the three letters to tell what it is, and then capital NAME. So this is going to be called text name because it is going with a text box. So if I call it TXT, then people know that that's a text box. Okay. Now I'm not going to change the content of that because number one, it doesn't have any content, and number two, I want the user to put in a name when I run this. Okay, if you're getting behind on this, ask Lindsay for help. Okay, as long as you're with me, that's fine. If not, ask Lindsay for help. Okay. So now I'm going to put on another text box, and this other text box I'm going to make a little bit bigger, and I'm going to write in it a message once I find out what the person's name is. Okay? So I'm going to call this box text MSG. Or something like that. Again, you can call these things anything you want to. I'm calling it text MSG because I'm going to put a message on it. Okay?
Now, do you have to select any of the text box and make sure it's typable or no?
Make sure it's what?
Make sure like the user can enter information into it. Like, Kim said, how do you different text box?
No, I don't.
You don't have to, right? Yeah.
I trust it. Okay, so now I'm going to put a button over here, and the button is going to be a button that I can have them click on. The button is going to be where they can click to see my message. Okay, so I'm going to go into button, and I'm going to change its name, and I'm going to call it BTN, and I'm going to call it BTN Click, because I want them to click on it. So I'm going to give it a name of BTN Click. And then I'm going to go down and find the text box. And I'm going to write click so that they will figure out that they're supposed to click there. Okay, so I've got a button now that has the text of click on it, and it is called. Okay. It is now called button click. So if I look over here, I can see the name that I gave it, which is button click, and I can see the text property, which means that on it is written the word click. Okay. So now I have those two things there. So now I can look at this and say, I want to put some code in. So if I click on the button, double click on it, it brings up this code area. So if I double click on it, it brings up on the code area. And the code area says here, button click, click. So what that is this is the click event. And if you look over here, there are a lot of other events. But the default event is the click event. If I click on it, something will happen. So I'm saying button click, which is the name of the button, underscore the event. And the event is the click event.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm saying I want to be able to click on that button. Yeah.
So how many different events are there? Can I have an event before my house?
I have no idea how many there are, but there's a load.
Yeah, I'm saying there's like a lot of them. So
yes.
Cool. I need to learn this part last night.
Okay, so there was all those. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want to write a message. So I'm going to say text message, which is the field that I set up to hold my message, right? I called it text message. If you call this something else, then use the something else. And so text message, I want to change its property and make it dot text. So I'm saying text message dot text. That means the text property of text message. So I want to change the text property of text message, meaning I want to put something in there. And I'm going to say equals. Okay, and as in most programming language, you're now assigning something to that. Okay, so I'm going to assign the message hello, and there's my literal hello, concatenated with, which is a plus. And I'm going to concatenate it with text name dot text. Okay, so I'm going to say take the literal hello, concatenate it with whatever was put into text name dot text, and assign it to text message dot text. Okay. So that's my code. So notice when I double-clicked on the click button, it made this private subroutine called button click, because that's what I double-clicked on, was button click. And it made it the click event. And the click event, and then it put a whole lot of stuff on here that we don't have to worry about. Okay? Because it did it for us. Thank you very much. And then we say, okay, now text message dot text equals hello plus text name dot text. So notice up here on the form, I have form 1VB and form 1 design. If I hit design, I'm back in the design mode. If I hit the other one, I'm back here in the code form. And I can go back and forth between them. Okay, so now I'm going to click on start. Okay, so you can see where it says start. I'm going to click on start after I finally convince it to take a picture. I'm going to click on start.
Have you ever had it not show anything in the VB file? Because she did exactly what you did.
And it's not showing.
Nothing.
Okay, we'll take a look at it.
Public class form 1 and then end class.
I will take a look at it in a minute, okay? So I've got my name. So I'm going to put in the name is Susan. Okay, so I entered in that the name was Susan. And now I am going to click on the click, and it says, "Hello, Susan." So it does the code that I asked it to do. And it says, "Hello, Susan." Okay? So it took the name that I put in the text name, concatenated it with the hello, and put it in the place I call text message. Okay? So you have just run your first Visual Basic program. Okay. Now what I want to do is I want to go back to the form and I want to take another look at these properties. So I'm going to look at the message. And I'm going to say, okay, text message. I want it to have a font. And I can click on the word font. And then I can click on these three dots here. And it lets me pick the font that I want, the size that I want, and all of that. So I'm going to stay with the font, but I'm going to make it bold and 16. Okay, so that it will stand out more. So I'm making it bold and 16. Okay. So now if I run this, and put in John and click. Okay. Didn't I change something?
I mean, it worked for me. My button looks pretty click.
Yeah, I don't know what I didn't do. I probably was taking pictures of screens such that I didn't save it.
Yeah, it's hit okay. I don't know if you hit okay.
Font. Okay, bold, and then 16, and I was busy taking pictures, so I didn't hit OK, apparently. So now I will run it, and I'm putting in John, and I'm clicking on the click, and it says, "Hello, John," and it's now in a big font, and it's now bold.
Yeah, I changed the click on that. That's where we're changing the bump up.
Okay, so now I'm going to go down and I'm going to look at the properties of message again, and I'm going to look for a background color. So I'm going to look for a background color, and I'm going to make the background color yellow. And I'm going to look for a foreground color. And I'm going to make the foreground color custom and then red. So I'm going to make the foreground color red. Okay, and let me paste that in to my pictures, and I will be back. Okay, so now if I run this, and I hope I clicked on save this time, and I say Susan again, and I click, it's now a background of yellow, and it's got red font to it. Okay, so I can set up okay, so I can set up a form and I can change the color of any of the individual things. I can change the background color of the whole form if I click on form and do all of that. Okay, now there are a few people that are still having problems. I'm going to suggest that you get out, save this, okay, do a file save all. When you want to save it, you want to do a file save all. Okay, save all, and you have presumably saved it. Okay, so I would like you to get out and try it again, or else go in here and add a few things in down here to do something, or just play around with this. You can also download a few things while I try to figure out what's going wrong.
Just like you have your bar.
Okay, but you're saying open
the word text.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
I just saved it.
All right. So, list 11.
Then,
yeah,
let's start.
DSLN is the right one. Okay, you don't have a button yet, right?
It was there, actually.
Okay.
I guess I didn't save it.
Okay, so, there's a button. Is yours working?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't. I'm just going to look in the other project here.
Okay.
I forgot to change the name, so I'm going to get
started. Yep. And if you want to just space, you can put
just
space
go look in the problems.
In the closing quote.
Okay. Okay, get out of run, which is that box right there. And
nice.
Then you can go look in the box. Okay. I should also mention that, so let's see.
So what do you mean?
When it is running, if you suddenly want to stop for some reason, see that kind of brown box up there? You can click on that brown box and get out. Okay, so that brown box will get you out.
I did the same exact thing before. And now it magically works.
Nice.
It's a wonderful world. Technology is a wonderful thing.
What the heck?
But it's not working?
Yeah, now it's working.
Okay, so play around with it a little bit more.
So was it?
Yeah.
What was it for you to type in?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. So
Over here, if you look at the properties, you can find font, you can find foreground color, you can find background color. Okay, font color, that lets you change the font color, lets you change the font. Click on it and then.
No, it's actually K normally would, and with a capital T.
Okay, I can't read. You look at that foreground color.
And that comes up with
the. You do.
So you have
yeah,
a capital
yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. No, I'm saying for it to show up in the drop down menu.
So yeah, that's what you should choose. Capital T.
So it's going to be red. I always yes.
And it worked really well. I was able to get it to run on this.
When you go to four color or background color, you're clicking custom. Okay, and your custom to get the custom color.
You can also type in the name of that.
Can you? Very good. I don't think I've ever tried that.
No.
I've just always clicked. So then I can go in and type cornflower blue.
I don't know about that one, but pink and red and blue ones.
I wonder if it would take. Foreground is going to be, I think it's cornflower blue. I'm curious.
I think that being two words, yeah, it's going to
sorry. It's not valid.
Yeah.
So probably if I put it in, and cornflower may be two words, and blue may be. And there may be capitals and all the rest of it. So I suspect I have to know more.
Now you're changing.
It decided to just ignore me when I put one flower blue in.
Oh, you tried putting it as like a string?
Yeah.
But regardless, as far as the technical aspects,
you need to change your text property.
Why would I hit the arrow? You could probably slip through that.
What?
If you hit the arrow right next to red.
That gives you all the colors, yeah, right. Yeah. But I wanted to find out whether I could type in conflict change.
And I think you could type in red because it's so easy in the computer kind of.
And then you
can
so
I have another text box? No, it's supposed to be gray. So you don't know. Yeah, like the scroll bar? That kind of thing?
And then you can do file close solution to close the solution. So download a few first math, basic math, download a few of those and unzip them. They have to be downloaded and unzipped in order for us to be able to run them.
Which one do you want to
do
first?
I don't honestly remember. It's first. We can look at any one.
All right.
It doesn't much matter. But let's go with the first three up at the top. They tend to get harder as they go down. So let's just go with download the first three if you want to up at the top. And actually, I'm not sure that the first one is worth anything. Try the first math and the basic math.
So we're trying those now.
So download first math, basic math, and you can try the other one too. I don't remember whether that one is anything more than Hello World.
Anything more than Hello World?
But you just need a double
quote. But first math and basic math.
Yeah, I kind of already.
Actually, try basic math, looking at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It does work.
If you try basic math, that one is a little more, not much to it. Okay, so once you've unzipped it, you can open it. And when I open it, the SLN, if it's showing you extensions, the SLN is the one you want. Mm. If it doesn't show you extension, the one with the BB and so the symbol on it is the one you want. So you're going to do a file new project, or file open project rather, file open project solution. And then you're going to pick basic math. And click on the one with the little icon image next to it, or the one that says the SLN. It's the SLN that you want.
Right, my excellent. It says, one more project in the solution were not loaded correctly. Please see output window for details.
Congratulations.
You're just problematic,
though, yeah.
I know,
huh?
We all are.
I don't know, but I guess the SLN file cannot be loaded. Am I not on the
path. Did you unzip it?
Maybe not. I haven't
zipped. Nope.
That was my guess.
Not my hope.
This has to be unzipped because I put a folder out there full of zip files and you have to unzip it and then click on the SLN. I unzipped it before class so that I didn't have to do it here. But if you have nothing better to do this weekend, you can download and unzip all of my Visual Basic examples.
to extract it out. Base command. Excellent. Let's see if it works now.
Remember to unzip it.
I didn't think it made a difference. I thought if you hit the file, it worked.
No, I just have to drag.
Learn something every day.
If you drag it to a different location,
No, right, but... That actually annoys me that it does that, because then I always try to think, wait a minute.
Does it unzip?
Yeah.
How do you open it? Do you just
double click
on the first
pass?
How do you open it?
Once you've unzipped it, you are... Yeah, you're right. I took that screen down. File, let me close it. Okay, file, open, project solution. There it is, basic math. And then I click on it because that's the folder. And I undo the SLN.
Is there any way to make a clear text button? Like, can I clear the chat?
Can you what?
Can we clear chat? You know, alright, so I'm looking at first math right now. You can add it to track one by five. So say, for example, I do 2 + 2 for first and second. Alright, so I'm at 4 in the text box. Instead of closing the program and reopening it to be able to do a different equation.
Yeah, you can have a clear. You can have a clear button.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it possible? I don't know.
Sure. Good enough. But not today. Yeah. You're right. That would probably be a good idea. Attendance really doesn't count for anything. It just kind of keeps me informed as to who's coming. Because this is a student option course, so. Yeah. But it keeps me track of me as to who's coming and who's not. Okay, so I'm now going to click on Basic Math SLN, and it loads. So what I've got here is a bunch of things that you've seen before and earlier. I've got some labels over here. I've got some text boxes, and I've got 5 different buttons. Okay? So I laid this out the way I wanted to lay it out. And, for example, the label is called Label First, and it has the word first down underneath its text. This is a box, and it's got text first. And this is a button. Whoops. This is a button, and it's called button add, and the text for it is add. Okay, so I set up the button. I called it button add. That was its name. I gave it button add. And then the text says add. And I did the same for subtract, multiply, and divide. Okay? So there under its name is button add. Okay, so now I want to put the code behind the scenes. I double click on it, and you can see that I have code for all of these. Okay, I have add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and I just threw in some other things to kind of show them to you. I'm going to click this X on the output and make it go away so I get a fuller screen, because I don't really need that. So now I've got button add does one thing, button subtract does something else, button multiply, button divide, and button close. So I've got 5 different buttons. Each one of them, I clicked on the button, double-clicked on the button, and then I could put in the code. Okay? It made the private sub, and I could then put in the code. Okay, so multiply is the easy one. To multiply, I just said take what is in the text, that is in text first, multiply it by the text that is in text second and make the answer the text in text answer. Yeah.
What happens if somebody put words instead of numbers?
It would either crash or give you an AN. Try it. The divide is also very simple. It just changes the multiply sign to a divide sign. Button close has on it me, and me refers to the form that you're currently using. So me dot, and then close with parentheses, which means it's using the close function that Visual Basic has designed behind the scenes. And that is a close function. So Visual Basic is going through all the steps to close everything. Now, if I run this, so I'm going to click on the green kind of triangle next to stat. And eventually it's hopefully going to run. You're right, Lindsay. Once you put Visual Basic on all the machines in here, it just gets very slow. Okay, so I'm putting in 5 and 7, and I'm saying I want to multiply, and it gives me 35. So that worked just fine.
I think you opened the wrong one.
So now instead of multiply, I want to add. So I'm going to click on add. And notice what it gives me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't add them, which would give me 12. It gives me 57. What does that sound like?
It sounds like that issue had in JavaScript.
That's right. It's the same problem that we had in JavaScript.
Concatenate. I think it's the
So it is choosing to concatenate instead of add. So like in JavaScript, the plus can mean concatenate or it can mean add. So how do I fix it? Those are two ways to fix it. And notice the single quote in front of those two lines, that makes it a comment. So those lines are not executed. Okay, those are comments. But if I put val in there, then that's like parse float, okay, or parse something or other. That's going to change it to a number, or at least convince the browser to add, or convince Visual Basic in this case to add. And then C integer changes it to an integer. There's also a C, D, S, D, C for decimal. Change it to a decimal. CDC changes it to a decimal. So if I put one of those in, then it will add. Okay, so what I'm going to do is close this. I'm going to go over and I'm going to make the integer one. And I'm going to put the comment around the top one. So now if I run it, oh, come on.
It makes you question if it's something's wrong with it, but it's not the case. It's just really slow.
Right.
Feel that.
Okay, so I'm going to put a 5 in there and a 7 in there again and say add, and now it's saying 12. Okay, so I fixed that, and it's now saying 12. So this is the same as in JavaScript. Now, not all languages require this, but this one does.
Yeah, now it's started.
Okay. Now, on the next one, okay, my turn. On the next one, I decided for no good reason to just put in an if statement. So I decided that I only wanted to do a subtract if text first was not greater than 10. for no good reason. I just wanted to put in an if statement. So I'm basically saying here, if text first is greater than 10, I want to put out a message that says too big. If it's not, I want to do the subtract. Okay? And again, there was no particular reason for that other than I wanted to test something. Okay, so now what I can do, come on, let's go. I'm going to run this. And I'm going to put in 8 and 2 and hit subtract, and it comes back and tells me 6. Then I'm going to put in 12 and 2 and hit subtract, and it comes back and tells me too big. Okay? So notice the structure of the if statement. It says if. And I always, when I refer to information in a box, I refer to the text property. So I'm saying if text, the text property of text first, and I write that as text first.text, is greater than 10, then. And if you leave out the then, VB will very nicely put it in for you. Okay? Used to drive me crazy because not most languages don't require a then, and I'd always forget to put in the then. But if you don't put in the then now, it will do it for you. And then I said, okay, then assign the literal too big to the text property of text answer. Else, okay, assign, do the subtract, and assign that to the text property of text answer. Notice this one doesn't have the curly braces. It has an if, else, and if. And most languages will have one or the other. They'll have the curly braces, or they'll have an if, an else, and an end if. Okay? So this one has that. Okay, so I would like you to now take this one and change the multiply so that you put in some kind of an if, whatever you want to do, but change the multiply so that you ask a question similar to what I did. There it is. And then go try putting that flowchart in and see how you do on that one. So if fist is greater than, if first is greater than 10, it's too big. If it's not, if it's less than 3, it's too small. So I want a number from 4 to 9, or 3 to 9. 3 to 10. I didn't look like that. Okay, so try changing that as well. Yeah, basic math.
Basic.
Basic math.
I was gonna say that's why I don't have that subtraction.
Okay, basic Okay. Has everybody changed both of those things?
Oh, I didn't actually do it. I was discussing it.
That's right. That's why I asked. I noticed that.
So what do you want to do? It's greater than 10. No.
So if it's greater than 10, it's too big.
Yeah.
So 10 and under go over here. So
it's not greater than 10, then if it's...
And I'm saying if it's less than 3...
It's too small.
It's too small. So therefore I want 3 to 10. If I did less than or equal to, it would have been what I said in the first place, but I don't. I just have greater than and less than. Yeah.
I think I got some errors.